Hi there, and welcome to our podcast, Mindfulness at Work. I'm Cara Pollard.
And I'm Beth Miles.
We're honored to support Chairman Mom with this episode of Mindfulness at Work. Learn about Chairman Mom, and don't forget to sign up for your free 3-month membership using the code TOGETHER. Visit chairmanmom.com and get started.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Cara.
I'm so happy to be here at Mindfulness at Work and thrilled to share this episode. We are so honored to share our conversation with Sarah Lacey, the dynamic voice of women and culture, via her work as an investigative journalist. She's the author of The Uterus is a Feature, Not a Bug, The Working Woman's Guide to Overthrowing the Patriarchy. She's the chairman and the CEO of Chairman Mom, and she's the founder and chairman of her latest venture, NeedHop.
Sarah sat down with us and shared her thoughts on managing life in the unprecedented times that we're facing. As our world shifts to manage the pandemic, parents are working from home, homeschooling their children, and trying to keep it all going while staying in place. Cara and I have long admired Sarah and her work for always championing women's efforts, creating radical community that brings women together in safe spaces. And we are particularly intrigued to find out about Sarah's new project called Chairman Mom and this amazing online virtual community she's created that allows for women to come together across so many different issues and comments and topics. And let's listen to what Sarah has to say.
So yeah, I mean, the company was so named because like the things that I'm the most proud of are being able to be a chairman of my own company and being a mom. And those are the two things that have like validated me the most. It's basically a non-toxic, abuse-free, troll-free community for working professional women. So they don't have to be moms any more than they need to be chairman of their own companies. And in fact, I'd say about 30% of our content is actually about motherhood. And even the stuff about motherhood is very through the lens of supporting the either mom or dad. We do have some men on the site too, as an individual. Whereas I feel like a lot of like motherhood sites really are about supporting the children with like the parent as a conduit. So it's a pretty different approach than other parenthood sites. And it's very focused on working professional women primarily. And, you know, most sites that have been built around motherhood are pretty tailored to stay-at-home moms. Or you get a big division between the two. So, it's been amazing. And we've been incredibly lucky that it's like we've been spending 3 years building this amazing digital community. Because, like, that's all we have right now.
Right. That's all we have to go with right now. We all are connected digitally and feel very isolated in some ways, but in some other ways, I feel like we recognize how much we all need each other. And interestingly, I love what you said about how you support parents, because I do believe that there are a lot of judging and judgy and trolling sites. So I love that you create a safe zone for people to come and be who they want to be. I don't ascribe to any type of parenting technique. I really, interestingly, support people with who they are and help them to discover who they are. And so I kind of go in with parenting as the carrot, if you will, because people do think it's their most important job, but really we end up talking an awful lot about what someone's beliefs are and how they really want to, you know, be out there in the world that isn't based on what cultural beliefs are or what society thinks they should be. It's really who they are from their heart. So I really, really applaud what you're doing and think it's very needed.
Thanks. So we also work with a lot of corporations. We have corporations who buy Chairman Mom subscriptions for all of their employees. And nice. We work with like their ERGs to support them. And so yeah, it's been really interesting. I'm sorry, Beth, I cut you off.
No, do you find, Sarah, like on your, do most people want to stay anonymous on your site, or are they comfortable to just come out and be vulnerable with you?
So that's an awesome question. So the way we do it, we offer sort of interaction by interaction anonymity. And there's two different levels of anonymity. So like you can be badass mom 99, or you can be, you know, Beth Miles on the site. You can pick whichever you want your username to be. Yeah. But then, you know, and that gives you a level of identity and interaction throughout the site where people get to know you over time, because, you know, it's really a place where people are like coming to talk about the hardest things they face. So it is incredibly vulnerable and it's really great to build those interactions. But there's a lot of times when, I mean, even just legally, people cannot talk about stuff.
Sure.
Using you don't know. I mean, if you've signed an NDA, if, you know, you're in the middle of a divorce, I mean, there's certainly parents in my position having a transgender child who wouldn't be talking about it openly.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of real reasons why you can't. And so we have like basically every single time you ask or answer a question or engage in a thread, like each interaction you can choose if you want to be yourself or be anonymous. I'd say about 60 to 70% of our questions are asked anonymously. About 20% are answered anonymously. So it is very heavily used. But the interesting thing is that... Well, there's two interesting things. I mean, the first is that there's no toxicity on the site. We've never had a mean comment. We've never had a flagged comment. We've never had to remove a single comment. And I don't think there's anywhere else on the internet that has, you know, this many people using it where you have that much anonymity and no toxicity. And it really was like, it was a business model shift and a software solution to that problem, because it is possible. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is, over and over again, we see women who will ask a question anonymously, and then they're so floored by the reaction that they get from our community, because women are so, we're conditioned to feel judged, especially about motherhood or relationships or anything on the internet. And so women, even if you tell women it's a safe space, they don't really believe it.
Sure.
And so a lot of women will post something anonymously, and then later on in like the discussion thread, they'll actually un-anonymize themselves. And so we've had women do that on like threads about miscarriage. We had a woman recently do that on a thread about going through divorce and needing, you know, a tribe. So, I mean, to me, what's so amazing is like people have that safety net. There's times you really need it. There's times I use it. But it's fascinating when you see women being like, oh, this is different than the rest of the internet. And they actually like choose to take it off.
Right. They see the safe space and they embrace it. Which is amazing, Sarah.
Yeah, it's like a little trial that we all could use, right? Because everybody, I do live support groups, and I find men crying and women crying often weekly. But I think it's because you can create a safe space more easily in person. But you're really kind of at the forefront of creating safe space online, which just seems so counterintuitive right now. So
yeah, and I mean, it's like 3 years ago, that was our contrarian bet. I mean, I think Beth knows through Caitlin, like I was doing these monthly dinners in my house and I would limit them to like 18 people, which is as many people as this dining room sitting in right now, the table diagonally. And
like tight elbows, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I just started doing it sort of in the aftermath of the Trump election and the Me Too movement. And I didn't have anything else I could do. Like everyone else, I just sort of, as a feminist, felt so impotent in that time. And so I was like, well, I have a dining room. Like, I don't have any money and I'm not hiring and I'm not, you know, but I can't invest in founders, but like I can have people over for dinner. And these dinners were just, there was like 100 women on the list. It was all like women in Silicon Valley who were, you know, in or around startups. And, I would send out a note. I do them every month, and people would like, the table would be full within like 5 minutes of me sending the email. I mean, there's just this like hunger for it. And it was a slightly different group every time. And like life-changing things like occurred just because women were together and having a single table conversation. And it was just so transformative to me, and everyone wanted like more of it. And so people would like me doing it once a month was not enough. Like other people started hosting them, and people wanted a Facebook group. And so I started a Facebook group, but rapidly, Facebook software is just fundamentally built for us to get in fights because it's an ad-based system. And so there was all this loveliness and harmony when I would have people at my house for dinner. But in the Facebook group, I was spending about 20 hours a week moderating and dealing with fights. The software is just built to get people in fights. It's psychologically built software. We all know this. I ended up closing the Facebook group. And that's really what led me to start Chairman Mom, because I was like, I don't know. I first interviewed Mark Zuckerberg when he was 19, and I called Facebook and he picked up the phone. Like, as a journalist, I've covered really safe. I know the people who built them. And like, I know these things were all done on purpose. It is not the nature of software. Right. It's not the nature of human beings. And people always ask me like, oh, well, you bitch about there not being more inclusivity in tech. What would be different? Okay, well, I'll tell you, there would not be white supremacists roaming Twitter. I mean, because these things would have been noticed in the earliest days if it wasn't just white men building these platforms who don't tend to bear the brunt of the bullying. Right. So knowing everything I know about how these platforms are built, you know, I just didn't believe that it was a given that if women are in an online space together, they're going to be at each other's throats. It's just something we've been baited into like everything else in the patriarchy. And so we believed we could build something that was different. And we like looked at why social media gets us in fights. And we engineered a lot of it out of the software the same way it was engineered into the software to begin with. And we made it a subscription-based business model, so that our desires are, as a business, are aligned with the user's desires. We don't have to manipulate them into harmful behavior in order to like sell more Pampers. It was hard in that building a business is always hard, but it was not hard in that it was impossible. But at the time, like 3 years ago, first of all, no one wanted to fund digital communities. That seemed very 2008. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted to fund shipping mattresses or building out, you know, brick and mortar co-working spaces, which thank God we didn't either, because like but also people are just like, no, women just hate each other. And it's like, okay, well, watch.
Well, I think I recently went to a retreat and they talked about the whole study of fight versus flight. Like when given conflict or given, moments to discuss things, the whole idea of we either fight or we flight, right? It was revealed that study was done only amongst men. And when later date, I found this fascinating, when they later added women into that to study what happens, they realized that there was a third arm to that, and it's community. And women, given conflict or problems, we create community. We don't fight, we don't flight. And I was like, if you really think about that, that's exactly what we do. I think it's what we're seeing now. I think it's what you do. It's what Kara does. Mm-hmm. You come together, or we come together. Right. And I think that is so, you know, and you're like looking amazed by that. Kara is like, you don't realize there's a science behind what we do.
Yeah.
Because it's who we are. And I think, you know, down to our metabolic level, that's who we are. So, I love all of that, Sarah, and I am so excited to have this ability to talk in this most extraordinary, unprecedented time that we're all trying to piece things together. You have young children, Kara, and I.
I'm going to be glad you have old kids.
Well, I tell you, that's so fascinating. So my daughter Somerset is now 17. She's a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. Kara has a senior in high school as well as a college son and a graduate already out in the real world. So we're like ahead of you in the parenting. Your little sweet ones are still elementary. I mean, to me, they're like teeny babies, but I know that's not the case. How old now?
They're in first and second grade.
Oh, wow. So they're still babies. They're babies. But I know for like Somerset, she, her senior year, she's most likely not going to go back to school. And she's devastated. And the whole, I mean, their senior spring, they've worked so hard. And now is the like joy of like, get your college acceptances, figure out your next chapter. For summer, for Kara's daughter, it's the same. And so, well, I don't know. I mean, in Chicago, Kara's in Chicago. It's interesting, Sarah. Kara is not in mandated stay at in place. Sarah and I are.
But we've Chicago. Been doing it before it was mandated because my boyfriend is just a, like has been reading everything in a total panic obsessed.
And I guess crazy. Really since
but now he's saying Kara's kids. Now he's conservative.
Yeah.
4 days ago he was
exactly right. Yeah. He was right. Well and I think so as we all try to navigate this and I think at the same time of working through it, this pandemic brings to the forefront so many like weak spots in our culture. And as we are coming home and trying to work and trying to keep things moving, they show themselves to us more and more, whether it's access to public health or what happens to working moms, homeschooling, like all of it comes to together. And
it's everything. I mean, it is every fault line in our society that we've been paper macheing over for generations. I mean, it's like the idea that none of us live near family, the total erosion of churches and neighbors. It's, you know, the fact of, you know, healthcare. It's how much of our population are hourly workers that have no benefits at all. It's like, it is like literally every single thing that we all knew was a dormant fault line in our society has just like erupted at once.
And now coming to the forefront in at a time when we also see, or I know, you know what I mean, watching the stock market, looking at the stability of our own, the foundation of our, like the structural support of our society, the financial sides of things, and then just the day to day.
I think the overarching theme here that I hear, and it's so hard to put it in one big broad stroke, but it really is community.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you, it's amazing how much my kids really crave it. I mean, right now they have like, they have a couple times a day Zoom classes with their teachers and all their class, and they're not learning anything in these classes. Like they're too young and it's too chaotic. But like they're, you know, just being able to like see their classmates' faces like their Eli's teacher will like put them in breakout rooms with like a couple randomly. And he's like so excited to see which of his classmates he's with. And like, they just are like, I mean, they're just talking about stupid shit that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah. But like my daughter was like racing through her math work yesterday. Cause she was like, I want to get to the Zoom early. Cause there's always kids who are on early waiting. I mean, it's just like they need that so much. And you know, you see at that like base level how much like isolation is. I mean, this is the entire point of building Chairman Mom. Like the only thing we were trying to do is solve loneliness and isolation, because loneliness and isolation is just the plague of the 21st century.
Right.
And, you know, largely foisted on the world via social media in Silicon Valley. And, you know, it is everything breeds in loneliness and isolation. That's where working mom guilt comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where like shame, that's where second guessing, that's where women who want to have careers leaving the workforce comes from. I mean, it all ties back to loneliness and isolation. I mean, suicide, you know, not to give mass shooters an out because, you know, they're horrible. And, you know, I didn't watch The Joker. I have no plans to.
Right.
I'm like, I hate the white supremacist. Oh, listen to his sob story, New York Times piece, as much as anyone else. But like, it is always loneliness and isolation. I mean, this is sort of the core of it. And, you know, on the flip side, when we were building Chairman Mom, we saw that there were three different studies that came out 3 years ago that showed that the best way to build confidence is to give solicited advice, because it reinforces to you that like you've got this and you're doing a great job. And it reminds you how controlled you are in your life, because because your life is always scaling in complexity every day, and you're not thinking about the things you've already figured out. And like when we launched Chairman Mom, we were like, well, we're only going to post a couple questions a day. So really, we're asking people to pay us $5 a month, mostly to answer questions, not ask questions. And we were like, is that insane? And then, you know, we launched it and we found like a ratio of 8 to 1 people wanting to answer versus ask questions, and like the strong validation they were getting out of the site. And like that study sort of explained why. And so I think it's not just like, I think why women reach out and want to build community is not just because they need connection, but it's that need to give, because it's in like giving that you feel validated and you feel better and you feel like, you know, it sounds cheesy, but it's like your life has meaning. I mean,
right.
Purpose. Like to me, I know it's incredibly hard to have like young children in a crisis like this, but I would way rather be in this crisis with young children than not, because as exhausting as it is, I worked about 19 hours yesterday and I have rarely been as drained as I was. But you know, you're so engaged in solving a problem for something that you care about so deeply. Mm-hmm. And that's so much better than sitting and refreshing Twitter and thinking about if we're all going to die. I mean, it's like that sense of meaning and giving is what gets us through these times.
Right. And people are asking what they can do in so many ways. I've received so many emails and people reaching out to me saying, do you have any ideas? What can we do? And I think it's because of exactly what you just said, we find purpose and meaning in helping others. It's not, you know, it's not the other way around. Even though I think sometimes society has told us that we should be looking at external things to give to us, it's really coming from within and giving out. So it seems so cheesy. It really does. But I think it's so true. And I so appreciate, number one, your time here with us today, because what you're saying is so, I think, helpful for other people to hear. So thank you for that. And speaking of working 17 hours a day, Beth mentioned an Instagram post that you had written that I thought was so relevant, actually. So what was it again?
It was Beth? Actually, so Sarah, I was, I follow you on Instagram and I think you follow me, and I was looking and your kids, and I often see your kids wearing the girls up front, which makes me very happy. But I was also, I think too, which is one of your many strengths, is that you're an incredibly engaged mom, right? And I know how much you love and care for your kids. And then you do have all of this, when I think about the story you uncovered about Uber, like you're always pushing these uncomfortable conversations, and you did partner with Caitlin and I to help with the Girls Up Front, which was all about Chanel Miller's. We now know her. We knew her only once, only as Jane Doe in the really disturbing Brock Turner rape case. And you were there to sort of partner through that and to tackle these kind of toxic ideas in our culture and push them forward. But what I read yesterday on Instagram, and I'm like, Cara, we need to call Sarah, because it just was so beautifully written, and I'm going to read it. So it said, with these darling pictures of your children working away, you said, homeschooling is fun, a crazy novelty to navigate. Gives me more time with them, which as a divorced mom is a major plus. It's also a full-time job. I had to wake up at 6 a.m. and do 2 hours of work before school started. It's almost noon and I've still only done 2 hours of work. This is completely unsustainable for working parents. I'll either go bankrupt or not sleep, catching up on work every night and get sick. Even the lucky people whose jobs are inherently put at risk during this time are risking them to school their children. And I am splitting it 50-50 with their dad. So to me, it was just so succinct, so powerful, such a, we know that this is a universal, it's a global issue at the moment, right? And also to your point, you have, and I know this, just knowing like you have a loving partner and you have an engaged co-parent and you're still feeling like this, right?
Yeah.
So imagine how people who also, I think there's a part, maybe their kids don't have the privilege of easily connecting to Zoom calls for school, right? Mm-hmm. And then you don't have a partner and you are working, or maybe you've even just lost your work, right? Like,
yeah. And I mean, I'm lucky in that my business does better in a pandemic. We're a digital community. Like, my business is not at risk. Mm-hmm. We have a year of funding in the bank and we will probably get profitable this year and I will make a salary no matter what. So it's like, mm-hmm. I don't have immediate financial pressure on top of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how people are navigating that. Mm-hmm. But I essentially feel like every woman in America, every working woman, especially in the states that are seeing the most deaths and have had the most like lockdown already, we've essentially had a second maternity leave foisted on us without any warning, without any maternity benefit, without any sort of 9 months to prepare for it. I mean, it's the only thing I can compare it to. Like, I've been in Silicon Valley through the dot-com bust. I've been in Silicon Valley through the 2008 recession. And, you know, both of those were sort of had that quality of feeling like things that you thought were bedrocks of our economy and our society were just ripped out from under you. Like, things that you thought never could be ripped out from under you were. And so I think there were equally destabilizing times. And I think there were equally like, just what am I witnessing here times. But in neither of those times was every single working parent in America now suddenly tasked with 8 hours a day of teaching their children on top of trying to financially survive this crisis. And like, you know, I don't understand even how to calculate the level of micro and macro economic destabilization that's going to happen if kids are being homeschooled through the end of this school year. I mean, there's the emotional toll. There's all of that. But just the fact that like, the disproportionate amount of it is going to fall to women and right. women who have been sacrificing and fighting like tooth and nail to not just be viewed as mothers and be able to like get raises and get promotions and, you know, not be penalized when they have to like take a kid, you know, a kid's sick and they have to take them to the doctor. We all know like there's a fatherhood bonus for those things and a motherhood penalty. And it's like, there's this group of women who have, you know, just killed themselves trying to claw that away, and disproportionately they're going to be teaching their children and they're going to be just destroyed all over again, just like what happened when they first had kids and they had to prove everything again. It's, you know, and we're going to do it because we're mothers and we love our children. And I think the thing that's amazing about this crisis as a former journalist and as someone living through it is so extreme. It lays bare what your priorities are. Mm-hmm. And you see that in sort of seemingly, you know, comparatively sort of banal things. Like, there was an article today about Airbnb, which has always walked the line of like being on the side of hosts and being on the side of guests. And they kind of finally had to pick a side because of the tensions between, you know, cancellations and hosts not being able to, you know, make their mortgage if they, you know, had a home based right. on Airbnb. And they sided with guests. And it's like, okay, finally, like what, 10 years into Airbnb has picked a side and it is guests. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we've all lived some equivalence of that. And I mm-hmm. think, look, for, you know, I've raised venture capital to build a startup. And, you know, if I don't do a good job, then we don't get more money. And then my team doesn't have an income and I don't have an income. I mean, the stakes are incredibly high for me. And I'm incredibly passionate about what I'm building. But, you know, it's way more important to make sure like my children's emotional and educational needs are met every day. And like, that is going to be my priority. That's my first priority. My second priority is going to be work. And unfortunately, my third priority is going to be my own health and well-being. Because like, that's where we are. But I just think it's an unprecedented thing that we're watching working women suddenly have to grapple with. And I don't know where it lands us. I think I am sort of a lemonade person, even though I know it's absurd in a crisis like this. But I do think, you know, the one positive that's going to come out of this is there's going to be a lot of women who just leave shitty partners. Like, this is going to lay it all bare. And it's like, really? Really? Like, pressing your boss is more important than supporting me or these kids? All right, fuck you. I'm out of here. Like, there's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of lines drawn in the sand. There's going to be, I mean, all of this is going to come to a head, and that's going to be ugly. But maybe just like the last 4 years of women in America, there will be good things that come out of that, and it will force this shit to a head because it has long been unsustainable, but privileged white women could make it work.
Oh, so true. So do you think that this is going to be a choice like Airbnb that we have to pick a side? And that, I mean, I think that you're saying on the one hand that it's going to catapult us forward further, but do you also think it might put, you know, we might have to step back a few steps and pick a choice? Or do you think we're just going to choose what's best?
Well, I mean, this is inherently a gendered statement, but I think it is not a choice for women. I think it's a choice for men. Mm-hmm. I think it is a choice for dads if they step up right now. And, you know, I will say, like, you know, I was with my husband for 15 years. We have a really, really, like, uncommonly great co-parenting relationship. But look, we're divorced for a reason. There's things we don't agree on. There's things, you know, there's issues I have. There's issues he has with me. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Before this crisis happened, we were about to go into therapy for the third time. Like, we've been divorced for a while. But, you know, look, it is crystal clear to me 3 days into this where his priorities lie, and that's with the kids. He is doing every other day. He is fully homeschooling them. Like we have been an amazing partnership. It is allowing both of us to be able to make this an every other day thing versus an every single day thing. Mm-hmm. Which is the only reason I'm talking to you guys right now, because it's his day. You know, it is clear where his priorities lie. And it's like, it is very clear the most important thing in his life right now are his children. And like, that's where he's putting all his priorities. And I can have any other issue I want to have with him, but like... Yeah. That is a gift that this crisis has given us, is it's like, okay, great, great. I had, whether or not we should have stayed married, I clearly had children with the right person. By and large, it is a gendered statement. I am sure there are exceptions, but by and large, we live in a culture where statistically the data backs up, women do the bulk of the work when it comes to kids, and women aren't going to have a choice, and a lot of men are going to have a choice, and that's what's going to be fascinating. Because you see all of these studies of millennial men. I don't know if you guys saw the recent one. Oh, millennial men are now happy for women to have a job. They're happy for women to have a paycheck. And why? Because it's bringing more money in, because they have student loans and they have all this shit. Oh, I'll allow you to go work, honey, and pursue your dreams because it means more money for me. But in the same study, millennial men will not do more housework.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like, that's not an option right now. So which side are you picking, millennial men? I mean, that's where I think we're going to really see where we are as a culture. Like, women will succeed no matter what shit gets thrown at them, because that's what we do. It matters. And if we have to take a step back, we take a step back. And there'll be many women individually who take a step back. And hopefully that propels us forward in some way. But it's really up to the men. And all this shit we've heard for 3 years about people wanting to be better allies, well, let's see it.
Right.
Let's see it. But you know, Sarah, I think, and I think everything you said is legitimate and what's happening, and women do bear this brunt of it. I think one of the things, even with working with Kara, for myself to understand more, is when we, like organizationally or culturally, we haven't really trained men. We haven't expected men to step up to this, right?
The space.
Right.
We have, and also the understanding that when men, in a corporate environment, an organizational environment, where men feel more connected to their families, they're actually better performers in that. They feel successful at home. They are carrying some of that emotional labor. They're going into the office, and they're productive in both places, and they're better for it. But to your point, I think either we let them off the hook, we've never expected it. We've not trained them in the soft skills of how to be, like to be attached to the emotional side. We say it's bad for boys to cry. It's bad for
I'm going to end right there, because I think that's a really good spot for us all to take a breath and ponder that question. Do we really give everybody the opportunity? We'd love to know your thoughts. Beth, what do you think about what our listeners can ponder?
I think it's an interesting time to break and allow us all to think, do we offer culturally women and men equal chance to be kind of self-actualized as they see themselves as women and men and have the best work-life integration? Do we support men with the soft skills and women with the hard skills and balance themselves out to be their best selves?
Wow. Well, I think that's a great question. So we will see what Sarah and you, Beth, and I have to say in the next episode.
We'd also love to you, if you would care to leave your comments or questions. How did this episode impact you? Let us know and we'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Mindfulness at Work. If you felt inspired by our conversation, we hope you'll share our podcast with your friends and colleagues.